You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, July 5th. In this podcast, Pastor Jonathan Cornell continues the series, Deep Breath. The message focuses on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 17, and is entitled, The Fresh Air of Freedom.
Welcome on this Independence Day weekend as we celebrate the gift of living freely in a country where opportunities and liberty and freedom is something that we share together. So as we begin, as we come before God's Word this morning, we're going to be looking at a passage from the letter of 1 Peter. And I want to invite you, as you are able, or as to reach for a copy of Scripture in front of you, or to turn to the screens to my left or to my right, to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse number 11. And as you're able, I want to invite you to stand with me as we hear God's Word together. So let's stand together. Starting with verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak of you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedoms as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. Amen, and you can be seated. This weekend, our nation is celebrating our freedom and our independence, and in the last month, we have been confronted from all sides with questions about what it means to live, to worship, to express one's heritage, to live in relationship freely. What does it mean to live freely? Isn't it ironic that while we are living in a time of almost unprecedented opportunities for freedom, that for many of us, or for many in our country and in our world, life doesn't feel very free at all. Freedom and license are not the same thing. It can be a very difficult thing to admit when we're wrong, when we're trapped, when we're addicted. Freedom brings with it a whole host of choices. And we hope that if we make the right choices, we make the right choices along the way, that our destination in the end will be happiness, that we'll get to this place of being happy and fulfilled, free people. But when we are not free, or when we are free and we are not happy, it seems in these situations that the only person that we have to blame is ourselves. When we were little, when we were young people, we were instructed by our parents and by our teachers. We thought they didn't understand us. We thought they didn't understand who we were, and that if we could just break free of the rules of our parents or the rules of school, once, in the words of Alice Cooper, once school was out for summer, then it was the opportunity for freedom. But then we grew up, and we left home, and now the only burden of maturity that we have is to take responsibility for how our lives turn out. Now that we're free, now that we can do what we want as free people, we can do when we want it, we can do with whom we want it, who can we blame when our problems, when our lives go wrong, except, of course, ourselves? Now, this weekend, America is throwing a big party, and we're reminding ourselves that, you know, this is a pretty amazing thing. Given the circumstances, given what we see around the world, it's a pretty amazing thing what has now been given to us as people who live in this country. And now freedom is even more widely offered. So the pursuit of happiness is ours. So I want to ask you, do you feel free? Do you feel free? In every aspect of your life, in every aspect of your mind and your heart and your family, do you feel free? Are you still struggling to get the happiness in the life, in life that you want? Are you, if you are, then maybe the battle is not so much about what's out there or about what's here, but maybe it's in here. Maybe it's in here. And this is where the first letter of Peter tells us that there is a battle being waged in our soul. It's the battle for independence. Because you can have the greatest life in the whole world filled with all the money, all the power, all the prestige, all the accolades and diplomas and community recognition. You can have all of that. But unless your soul is free, you're going to be continuously looking for more. But now on the flip side of that, once you have found freedom in your soul, it doesn't matter how many opportunities are taken away from you. It doesn't matter how many times doors close in your face, how many deals go wrong. It doesn't matter how many commitments that you have. Your soul is always free. And there's two places, I think, where Peter tells us that the battle for our independence is either won or lost, and they both have to do with our perspective, how we see the world. And if we allow God to modify, to adjust our perspectives, we have a chance as people, as a community of faith, we have a chance of living grace-filled, free, abundant lives. We have a chance to live into God's declaration of independence. And the first perspective is our perspective on the world, on the world around us. As I'm looking out on the world around me here, I notice that this side is way lopsided and that you all over here need to invite friends or something or get people over to your side of the sanctuary because it's not even close, friends. Jack and Marge, come on, you do a lot of business in town, Jack. I think you gotta start bringing friends. Just teasing. The second perspective in this conversation has to deal with our perspective on ourself. So the world and ourselves. These are the two perspectives that we need to consider. Peter begins the passage today by referring to his audience using two interesting words. He says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles." It's an interesting phrase, aliens and exiles. Followers, you know, maybe we think to ourselves of Sigourney Weaver movies and giant aliens that have, you know, one mouth that opens and then another mouth that comes out and opens as well. You know, maybe that's the alien you're thinking of. Maybe you're thinking of, something more political about that phrase aliens. But all along, throughout the church's history, Christ followers, people who have followed Jesus, have had this inkling within them that we are not fully home in this world, that this place, this world that we inhabit is not fully home to us, that we're somehow alien to it. We aren't too attached to the people or to the places that we're staying. We have different customs, different ways of being. I don't know if you've ever thought about what other groups on Sunday mornings gather early, by that for that matter, you know, at 10 o'clock or earlier, gather and then sing songs together. I mean, just that in and of itself is strange to this world that we live in. A bunch of people to get together and listen to an organ or a piano and sing songs, that's different. But our values, the people that we value, the relationships that we value, the way we treat those who are different from us, this is somehow different in our world. Followers of Christ are different from the culture around them in that we don't think it's the world's responsibility to make us happy. When we're not happy, we don't look to CNN, or we don't look to the New York Times. We don't look to these things and say, why aren't you making me happy? It doesn't take long for us to see that if our dreams of freedom, the dreams around our freedom surround our society. Financial freedom, relational freedom, political freedom, social freedom. But happiness is not something we pursue and fully find in anything that this world has to offer. Freedom is that which wells up from the depths of our souls. Freedom is something that comes from within, from knowing the abundant grace of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think that the way to freedom is by conquering and subduing the world around us. If we can be, as in the immortal words of George Costanza, if we can be master of our domain, then that if I can get a hold on my job, if I can get a hold on my family, my country, then I will be happy. But Jesus invites us to enjoy and appreciate all those things that the world provides, all those things that our country provides, but realize that our communion with God is really where our freedom and our joy and our happiness is found. Peter says that we should be able to honor everyone, even the emperor, in which case, in Peter's day, that was a tall order, to be able to honor the emperor. Let's say they were not the most savory characters, as you can probably imagine or remember from history class. Honoring someone involves no longer trying to change them into the person that you want them to be or that you need them to be for your own ambitions, your own ends. Because you already have all that you need in the Savior. In Philippians, Paul writes that our citizenship is in the commonwealth of heaven. Jesus was the most free person who ever lived. He truly believed that only his Father in heaven could provide his identity, which is exactly what God did at Jesus' baptism when he sort of rolls back the clouds and the dove descends and he says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And he said the same thing last week about Jim Leap as he was baptized. He says that about each one of you in your baptism. You are beloved sons and daughters of God. For Jesus, what it meant to live freely was to serve. Jesus was freed from the world to serve the world. The second field in which I think we look for our freedom, or we find our freedom, is in our perspectives on ourself. We become free when we commit our lives to others, to serve others. In our marriages, when husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, and when wives love and serve their husbands, when there is this mutual service that takes place, this is where relationships flourish, where freedom exists in relationship with one another. In just a few moments, we're going to close with a hymn that a great hymn that we've sung, I'm sure, many times, God of the ages in whose almighty hand. It was written by a man by the name of Daniel Roberts in 1876, and he wrote it for his little church in Brandon, Vermont, to help them celebrate the centennial anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Now, Pastor Roberts spent his whole ministry in a small little community in Brandon, Vermont, and that was his sphere of influence. He didn't know or have much exposure outside of his small parish. And shortly before his death, he writes that he wrote in a journal saying, "I remain a country parson, known only within my own small world. And yet, 130 plus years later, we are still singing Pastor Robert's hymn." But the servant couldn't see that at the time. He couldn't see the end game. He couldn't see what his faithfulness would result in down the line. He was just faithfully trying to pull together a hymn for a Sunday morning that his people could sing together. He was free to serve and to let the Lord worry about the significance of the rest of it. God is inviting you. God is inviting us into a life of unrestrained service and mission. Who knows what the ripple effects of our faithfulness, what your faithfulness will entail? Who knows what people will sing 50, 100 years down the line because of something, maybe it's small, maybe something you did. Who knows what will be said of it? You are members of the body of Christ, which has spanned generations, it's spanned centuries, and it's continuing to unfold. This week, maybe you saw it, Time Magazine ran an article about that began with this phrase: "What if the only way you can be good is to be great?" Now, what followed was the remarkable story of a man by the name of Nicholas Winton, who passed away this week at 106 years old. And for 50 years, Nicholas quietly went about his life, keeping a harrowing story to himself. And it wasn't until his wife, who was cleaning out the attic one day, discovered a scrapbook full of pictures and profiles, and confronted her husband and asking him, "What is this? What's going on?" And it was then that she discovered what her husband had done so many years ago. As a young British stockbroker in 1938, Nicholas realized that there was a whole host of Jewish children who were marked for extermination. All over the world, people did what most people would do when they read this story of the Nazis preparing to invade Prague, as they turned the newspaper and took another sip of their coffee. But not Nicholas, or Nicky, as he's affectionately known. Nicholas Winton single-handedly arranged for nearly 700 children to be removed from Prague on the eve of the Nazi invasion of that city. Not only did he arrange for the train to transport the children, but he also almost single-handedly arranged for host families and adoptive families to bring these children in to their homes when they arrived in Britain. Now, here is an example of a man who knew what it meant to live freely and also knew what it meant to enable others to live freely. It may be hard for us to find the significance in our everyday lives. You mean I'm just supposed to raise these kids? You mean I'm just supposed to love the people in my office who it's kind of hard to love, or the people on my block? It's possible, without even knowing it, that your significance in your work of living freely will have a ripple effect down through the ages. You can either drive yourself crazy, or it can drive you to lay that claim, on an even bolder claim that you were created free. So free that you can find your joy in taking responsibilities for others and choosing to serve God with your holy dreams. The final question I think we're invited to ask this morning is, how do I know which dream to serve in this life? And that's where I think the Holy Spirit comes into play. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And we meet this question. Should I stay home or should I go back to work? Should I enjoy my retirement or dive into a volunteer project that might become like a second job? Should I work in the private sector or should I work in the nonprofit sector? And I think these are real life questions that we ask. And I know that you've asked them because you and I, we've talked. I know that these are questions that you all are asking. But I wonder if these aren't questions to which God sort of shrugs his shoulders and says, you know, I'm not going to stay up real late wondering about this. I'm not going to stay up real late because I'm going to let you discern. I'm going to let you decide. I'm going to let you seek the Holy Spirit and then obediently follow where the Spirit is leading you. I don't want to diminish how big these questions are for you. But really, many of your choices are not between a good thing and a bad thing, but your choice is between two good things. So you really can't make a wrong decision. In many of our kingdom vocational type questions, the options are, you know, not one good and one bad, but they're both good. And so we can't, in a sense, we can't go wrong. Living in the freedom of the Holy Spirit opens a multitude of doors. When our sights are set outside of ourselves, the options are limitless. Jesus says you will always have the poor with you. You will always have neighbors with you. But if we are enclosed around our little lives and protecting our little freedoms, things can become kind of claustrophobic. So live into the Holy Spirit. God has already revealed all you need to know through the Scriptures. The rest is just following your passion, following the promptings of the Spirit, and exercising your responsibility as a free person. Living in the Holy Spirit, the air is fresh and clean. It's fresh and clean for those who are unbounded by the Spirit. The Bible says that if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. And now lift up our heads. Let's lift up our heads and let's breathe in that free air, that fragrant aroma, that heavenly taste that we're going to gather around the table and experience in just a moment. Let's feel the textures of the kingdom. And let's ask, and let's listen to God ask us. Let's ask God. God, what's next? What's next for us? What's next? Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, you have said what the Lord has set free is free indeed. Lord, that you have given us a holy calling and passions and gifts and abilities and skills, not so that we might live closed-in lives, but that we might be released freely to love and to serve those around us and to trust that your grace and your mercy and your provision is not a zero-sum game. That the more that we share freedom, the more we bring and offer freedom to others, the more we will experience the boundlessness of your mercy and your love. Thank you for the gift of freedom. May we use it responsibly to help free others. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.